Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. We're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here. From Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please, class, give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever it is that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, also as well, Game Source, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and we will have a Super Bowl special. Chris and Dom Lardieri and I go ahead and talk about the world of football with the Super Bowl coming up. So we'll talk about that on next week's Inside Sports, Fantasy Football. Plus, also as well, LakersBall.com. Go ahead and check out Ox1947 sharing his thoughts each and every day at LakersBall.com. Plus, if you want your lawn transformed into something magical that even Disney can't rival, go ahead and check out Simblades if you're in Southern California. Simblades with a Y.com. Plus, our good friends at LakerHolics.com, Laker Tom, and also Jamie Sweet are right there for you. Anytime you want to go ahead and share your thoughts on the world of the Lakers at LakerHolics.com. Plus, our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And if you could do all of that, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, I was going to go ahead and do a NBA observations today on the MVP race, what's going on with the Western Conference, potential trade partners for the Lakers and all that. But I received a memo from the faculty here at Lakers Fast Break University stating, Dean Gerald, there's a momentous anniversary coming up on the 1st of February. And I looked back into the halls, the records, and sure enough, I went to the library and came out of the library with the exact records because this date, 15 years ago, Pau Gasol, you could even say by his surname, Pau Gasol Saez, was traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Los Angeles Lakers for a slew of draft choices, which included his brother as well, who had already been drafted by the Lakers but had yet to play in the NBA. But we all know what happened then in regards to his career in Memphis. And then, of course, eventually was traded back to the Los Angeles Lakers, or actually signed as a free agent after his winning championship in Toronto. But the Lakers traded Pau Gasol at a second-round draft pick in exchange for Kwame Brown, Javaris Crittenden, who is often, I understand, with his legal troubles, a great joke amongst Lakers fans. But yes, it was Javaris Crittenden a part of that trade. Also as well, Aaron McKee, the draft rights to Marc Gasol, and first-round picks in 2008 and 2010. So this was a big trade pulled off by Mitch Kupchak, the first real trade that he did out of the shadows of Jerry West. And what happened? It was a home run. He probably couldn't get a better trade in Lakers history. Maybe the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar trade, you could probably say, maybe worked out a little bit better, but my God, it's close, because the Pau Gasol trade truly transformed the Lakers from a team that needed that one extra little thing, into a three-time finalist with him going forward, with the Lakers winning two of those times to the NBA Finals and becoming a back-to-back world champion on the backs of him, Kobe, Derek Fisher, and all the rest right there for you. But here today to talk about what's going on with this Pau Gasol trade. As we remember, Pau Gasol, 15 years as he came after he came to Lakers, and also acknowledged that on March the 7th that he is going to have his jersey retired and hung up to the rafters. Hopefully, as Joe has asked and surmised, in between Kobe's 8 and 24. Good man indeed. You got to go ahead and hear his lecture every single time out right here for you at Lakers Fast Break, LakersBall.com, and SimPlays.com. It is Professor Joe Sorrell. And Professor, I see you've done your research, which I know is always in question, but I think you did a good amount of research. And knowing today this is the 15th anniversary of the Pau Gasol trade, you know exactly how important he is to the last back-to-back championships we've had as a Lakers club.
We've detailed it a little in some of the shows in the past. I'll reiterate a few things in terms of what happened that day, and then I'll get into a little bit more detail about the draft picks and kind of what happened after the trade. I'd say probably 5, 6, 7 years, that whole window. I was in my truck traveling to LA from San Diego, and at the time I was living in San Diego. And I got a text message on my Razor. If you guys remember what the Razor phone was, this was before the smartphone. So I'm just hitting a little bit of traffic on the 5, and I get a text from my friend Chris that, wow, Lakers stole something, right? I knew right away it was for someone big, and the deal likely was going to be in our favor. The first thoughts in my head were, for sure, Kwame was going to be in the deal, and then it was probably going to include either Andrew Bynum or Lamar Odom. And my instinct said it was Jason Kidd. All of a sudden, and at the time, guys, I couldn't get on the phone and go look at ESPN.com. Like, it took a minute to do that kind of stuff. So
yeah, we didn't have high speed internet back then, folks.
Yeah, so I was texting him, and then finally he called me right when I was losing my patience on, like, who the freak was it? So he calls me and he goes, dude, you guys got Pau Gasol. And I went, what? I go, okay, who, did they send Lamar over there? He goes, no. I go, what about buying him? He goes, no. At this point, I'm like, who the hell did they send over there? They sent, obviously, Kwame Brown, Javaris Crittenton, Aaron McKee. Now, let me get to the Aaron McKee part. Aaron McKee was sitting at home. He was finished. They called Aaron McKee up. I believe it was $1.1 million, if I remember correctly. I have to check. They called him up and they said, hey, we need to trade you. And he's like, what? I'm not even playing. He goes, well, you're still kind of can be involved here. We're going to pay you $1 million or whatever it was exactly it was, and then we're going to trade you Memphis. Gee, I wonder what Aaron McKee thought about that.
There's actually been, especially in that 2000 to 2010, 2012 decade, little decade plus, where there were players that, like Keith Bogans, was always added on as far as a trade, and you've seen this before, where players that are actually just left the team or were waived recently were actually added back on to the deal just for a salary filler, and they would actually. Literally still, like you said, Aaron McKee, just stay at home. You're getting $1 million or $2 million or whatever is needed to be done to fill out the trade.
That was the first of that kind. I had never heard anything before that. So that was pretty interesting. Draft rights to Mark Gasol, which at the time was like, man, that would have been kind of cool to have Mark and Powell, but I didn't care. Yes. We had Powell. And then there was an 08 and 2010 first round pick to Memphis. Memphis gives us Pau Gasol and a second round pick that eventually ended up being Devin Ebanks. So at this point, I'm in absolute euphoria. I call one of my best friends who's a huge Laker fan. He could not believe on the phone. He could not stop telling me to shut the F up, as in, like, you got to be joking, kind of shut the F up. He just couldn't. He couldn't compute the fact that we just got Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol is the antithesis of Kwame Brown. Kwame Brown couldn't catch the ball. Pau is very good at catching the ball, especially down in the lane. Pau never missed from inside 3 feet. Kwame could miss a dunk. He was half a genius. Kwame, unfortunately, wasn't even one-tenth of a genius. Everything that they didn't have in Kwame Brown, Pau Gasol did, and it did it at an all-time level. And the fact that you're playing the triangle, which other than Shaquille O'Neal, that system was tailored for a player like Pau Gasol. So we were not surprised the moment Pau Gasol put on a Laker uniform and went onto the court, he was going to make an impact, and he did. I believe he had 26 points and 13 rebounds in New Jersey. Kobe, that was the game Kobe broke his finger that never healed. Remember that little bandage he put on his finger the last 5-7 years of his career? That was the game that he broke his finger. He only scored 6 points that night, and I had never seen Kobe Bryant smile as much as I saw him smile in the post-game interview than that game. So Pau Gasol made his mark, and the moment that game finished, I called my boy up. I said, hey, Pau's coming to Staples for the Atlanta game. We are going. We are going. We got to come go see Pau come to Staples is his entrance. I still get goosebumps. Still get goosebumps thinking about it. I remember the visual of him coming out of the tunnel. And I mean, the crowd was just elated. I would say without hesitation, after Kobe and Magic, he is one of probably the most popular Laker, at least in my Laker lifetime. I know it sounds weird. I know we have Nicky V and we had Shaq, and the thing is, it was the timing of this thing. It was how desperate they were at this moment that Pau Gasol reinvigorated a franchise and solidified one of the all-time legacies of the NBA. I would have totally tried to play the video that they did. It's got the Jay-Z theme under it. It's a really good one. If you go on YouTube, put Pau Gasol, welcome, LA welcomes, and then it should pop up. And then you'll hear the Jay-Z song. I don't know if I'm supposed to say the name and copyright things.
You can say all the names okay. You want.
So
now this to copyright.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So like we're making any money here for us to worry about that crap. Just that video, it's 30 seconds. It's basically LA welcoming Pau Gasol. And man, it was a 3-year run. Whew. My God. We just make a couple more baskets in 08 in the finals. We're looking at another three-peat. But, boy, that was some fun basketball. Pau Gasol will always be one of my favorite people, basketball players, everything. It's amazing what a sporting situation can do to your psyche. I mean, he just had us happy for a very long time. And Mitch, you'll always be a legend because of that one trade. So whatever happened with Mozgov and Deng, you solidified so many things with that trade. You pissed off Greg Popovich. You pissed off Mark Cuban. You pissed off Dan Gilbert. That enough should be Hall of Fame worthy.
But even legends have bad days.
Well, I'm gonna play a homer. I'm gonna put my homer glasses on. I think there was something else behind the Mozgov Deng acquisitions, because I know I've said this before. We never got a chance to see what could have happened with Chris Paul, and Mitch did that trade as well. So it's a sad situation in that end, but we did get a chance to see the perfect player that could have that played with Kobe. I mean, I say perfect as in, I know Shaq was a better, you know, side, you know, 1A, 1-1. I always say 1-1 to Kobe, but I always think if Pau Gasol had been a Laker in 01 with Kobe, we would have seen probably 5 or 6 championships with those two guys as well, because they were peanut butter and jelly when they were on.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cold.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Lakers Fast Break University. I am here with Professor Joe Sorrell, and also as well here today. Good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out whenever he's here. He is the magic man, the madman from Toronto. He just can't get out of Toronto traffic unless he's conducting a course, which he is today. Please go ahead and listen to his lecture as he talks about the greatness of Pau Gasol with the Lakers. It is, of course, magic man, Professor Sean Grice. And Professor, great to have you here. I know it's late for you. I know it's a evening class and a night class for everyone. So we're taking night classes. We're conducting night classes here at Lakers Fast Break University in regards to the 15th anniversary of Pau Gasol. Please go ahead and describe your thoughts on Pau Gasol when he came over. And we'll touch on a little bit later the impact he had with the Lakers and what it led to in regards to the early 3 years that you had greatness with him, Kobe, leading us to a 3-time finals back to back to back. But tell us your thoughts on that magical day 15 years ago, where you were when you first heard Pau Gasol was coming to the Lakers.
Yes, Gerald. Well, it was kind of significant in a way because it was an advent to what turned out to be a pretty good Super Bowl that year. And that's what I remember as well. It was around the Super Bowl, and I was driving home from work. And normally the Raptors play Sunday nights around 6 p.m. Usually that's when the city's winding down and people can come and go downtown with ease. The Lakers were actually playing the Raptors, so I was pretty pumped about that. But then I was listening to the radio, and I've said this before, Smoke on the Water was playing by Deep Purple, and I just happened to turn it to a local sports station called Fin 590 here in Toronto, and they said, breaking news, the Lakers have acquired Pau Gasol. And I'm on the Gardiner Expressway, and it's equivalent to the 405 in Los Angeles. So,
'cause you just can't get out of Toronto traffic.
No, you can't. So I'm like freaking out. I'm like so excited. So I need to pull over to the shoulder, because if I'm not paying attention, I'll definitely get into Toronto traffic accident. And we don't like dealing with Toronto insurance companies and Toronto traffic police. So we try and police ourselves in the city when it comes to traffic. I digress. I pulled over the shoulder. I get out. I'm like losing it on the side of the road. I'm so excited because like Joe said, this was just like a rejuvenation to your basketball soul. Because that year, the Western Conference is so competitive. The two teams that were really competing for the top spot were the Lakers and the Hornets. And they had a young point guard named Chris Paul. And him and David West were eating pretty good that year. And obviously Mitch Kupchak saw what was going on. And obviously his coaching staff told him what was going on. And they needed to do something. And I was under the impression that Pau Gasol was going to Chicago. All the talk surrounding him leaving Memphis was going to Chicago. Chicago was a perfect spot for him. They needed a power forward. They had a young point guard themselves. And they were looking to try and build something. So I thought Pau Gasol was on his way to Chicago. And then all of a sudden, Mitch swoops in, and I don't know what he said. I don't know what happened, but it changed our lives forever because you get three finals appearances. By the way, when they acquired him, they won 10 in a row. They won 10 in a row. After the Atlanta game, they won 10 in a row. And I made a comment yesterday to one of our great commenters and bloggers, Adam Hurley, that he was saying that Darvin Ham isn't a good coach. You could tell it in close games. And I said, I agree, but I disagree because really good teams, when they play against each other, it's usually a split, and the point differential, normally, it evens out. What's a tell is how you compete against below-average teams, bad teams, and the others. So during that 10-game win streak, the Lakers only had wins of less than 10 points three times. So they were smoking teams. They were blowing teams out of the water. 15-point win, 13-point win, 19-point win. It seemed like Pau just, like Joe said, and I was thinking the same thing before he said it, peanut butter and jelly. That's the way he fit into that team. So what's concerning about what's going on that year is we're watching the game and he steps on Vlad Rad's foot. Space Cadet, as Phil Jackson dubbed him. And now, after a really scorching start to the Lakers, he's hurt. And we tread water a little bit. I think he was out 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. Might have been 2.5, but I thought it was 3. And he comes back, and it's a bit of a sputter, but he plays 27 games, and we win 22. We're 22-5 with him in the starting lineup as a power forward. And it just seemed like, I don't know about you guys, but it just seemed like they were on cruise control until the finals. And maybe in retrospect, maybe they needed a bit more of a challenge. Say like in 2009 and 10, because it just seemed like they needed to get into another gear and just didn't happen. And he took a lot of crap. He took a lot of crap that year. He's soft. You bump him around, he's gonna wilt. He's a wallflower. All kinds of BS. And he came back with a vengeance, man. I mean, there was a point where during that run, we won 83% of our games with him in the lineup. Michael Jordan didn't even win 83% of his games with Scottie Pippen. Wilt Elgin and Jerry never won 83% of the games together. There was a point in time where Kobe and Powell were, it was like yin and yang. Like Joe was saying, like peanut butter jelly, yin and yang. It's a, there was a flow there. And it was just instant. It was just instant. And if you read the Mamba Mentality, he said when Powell got to the hotel, Kobe like was knocking on his door before he even had his bags on the floor. So this was instant chemistry, you know, and it's really interesting, Aaron McKee, right? Because Aaron McKee was on the Sixers when we won, when we were in our three-peat, and there he is being kind of like the missing link to the 09-10 championships. It's just, wow, man. Like, history is so awesome in the NBA. I often think about, like, the Lakers' rich history, Gerald, and it reminds me of that scene from Gladiator where Maximus is walking through the tent and he's being just covered in blood, and they say, the gods favor you. That's what it seems like with us. Like, for whatever reason, it's fortuitous luck. Call it shrewdness. There just seems to be an element that the Lakers have within the thread of the NBA history where things just end up working out some way, somehow.
Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. Welcome to Lakers Fast Break University. Class is in session as we talk about the 15th anniversary of the Pau Gasol trade, a trade which transformed the Lakers from a good team to a championship-winning team in a very short amount of time. And Joe, feeding on what Professor Magic Man said in regards to his thoughts on the what the Powell trade did, 10 wins in a row right off the get-go. And it looked like even then we were going to go ahead all the way for a championship, that was the key right there and then. We didn't know that it was going to take a year, but seeing how Powell and Kobe, they had a kind of a relationship before, but seeing how they really meshed together and seeing what they were together as teammates once he came over, it was really something special.
You guys are close. He actually played. He was acquired on February 1st. The Lakers played Toronto, won in Toronto. Then they played Washington in Washington 2 days later. They won that. Then he played his first game February 5th against New Jersey. They won that. And then they went to Atlanta the next day and they lost. Then they went on a 10-game winning streak.
Yeah, I'd mentioned the Atlanta loss, Joe.
Yeah, the Atlanta. And I at the time...
And that was only by 4 points. It's not like...
Yeah, that at that time...
It's not like they skidded out or anything.
Yeah, Atlanta always seemed to be a loss no matter who it was. I don't know what it was about Atlanta, but they always seem to lose that game in Atlanta.
Them and Charlotte, for whatever reason.
They Charlotte got Bobcats crazy. Had their number. Charlotte is the only team in 09 that had a winning record against the Lakers.
Won both games.
Okay, the only team. So Orlando won both games in the regular season, but the Lakers beat them 4-1 in the finals. So that's where that kind of worked itself up. But I thought that was a hilarious stat. Now, I'm going to disagree with you, Magic, on the competition in 08. The Lakers' offense that year was one of the best offenses I've ever seen them run, ever. They had a juggernaut. They beat Denver in a sweep. Denver won 50 games as an 8 seed. Every team in the West won 50 games or more.
Didn't win Defensive Player of the Year that year? Like, they weren't a scrub team. They were a good team.
No one was a scrub team in that run. Matter of fact, we played the best Utah team of that era. We won the first two games. They won the next two games. They won the game four in OT. And then, of course, the Lakers won the last two. Then they played San Antonio, which was a really good team. We only beat them by one game to get the one seed. And Kobe went into God mode in that series. It was, we were down 20 in a couple of those games, and we came back and won. The Lakers, and during that run, the Celtics got taken to seven games by Atlanta, by Cleveland, a one-man show, and by Cleveland, and then they beat the Pistons in six. If the Lakers don't blow game four, I still will stand to this day in my grave that the Lakers would have won that series. They had a something happened in that third and fourth quarter, and they blew a 24-point lead, and they were never able to recover after that. And
you know what it was, Joe? It was Paul Pierce. That's what it was. And you know, looking back, not the most sculpted basketball body that the gods have ever produced, but the way he used his body physically was a problem on the perimeter for us. And we really needed a presence. And that's kind of where Ron Artest fit in.
And we didn't have a healthy Ariza, and Bynum was out. Wasn't healthy. It was a real bummer, because that series could have changed history in so many ways for Kobe and the Lakers. We're standing a championship ahead. Actually, it would be two championships ahead if we win that series. Kobe has six titles. Kobe three-peats for the second time. Kobe wins three straight finals MVPs. There's so many things that would have come, that so many things that could have been different just by winning that series. And that is sports, man. Those little losses can change so much of the dynamic of a career. And they blamed a lot of it on Gasol not being.
Well, they called him the meal ticket after that. They because KG was the big ticket, they referred to Powell as his meal ticket in that final. And that's somewhat unfair. Powell wasn't the only guy on the court there, especially in the low post.
Especially the fact that Radmanovic didn't do jack squat in that series, and we didn't have enough of the little things with that team. Kobe carried him as far as he could, and
The NBA is a business. You know, sometimes you get into relationships with somebody who, you know, they're in Utah, there's fresh powder, they smoke a little weed, decide they'll go on a snowboard, and then you decide to be a jackass. And being a jackass is one thing, Joe, because we found out about myself a few days ago. But admitting you're a jackass, having some integrity, having some respect for what's going on, he didn't. He lied about it. And, man, that was just you're right. I mean, we dealt with injuries, but, you know, there's no excuses. Every team deals with them. For God's sakes, we made a name out of Leon Poe. That finals, I'd never heard of Leon Poe before, and
14 free throw attempts
that caused game two. That caused me to drink two bottles of red wine that night.
That was a bad loss. That was, I would say, I mean, I'm still hurting from the Green Bay Steelers Super Bowl loss, but boy, if there was a loss I wanted back, it was that game, game four. Because if the Lakers tie that series up, they win game five, Celtics are peeing in their pants in game six with a Kobe Bryant coming in their building. I just don't see Kobe losing two in a row in Boston. It's a bummer, man, because it changed so much. It changed so much of history. Kobe would have been 2-0 against the Celtics. They would have passed the Celtics with Kobe being the catalyst. Kobe wins three straight finals MVPs. Kobe has six titles. Pau Gasol has three titles. It would have finished everything off. It would have been the ultimate culmination for Dr. Buss in buying the team in 1979, and then in what 30 years, he takes over Red Auerbach's seat.
And he gets him three times.
That, though they got him three times, would have had him four times. Now, a little tidbit here too is I remember in 2002 when the Celtics came back from one of the, the Lakers one overtook it. But at the time in 2002, New Jersey blew a pretty big lead against the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, and Celtics went up 2-1. And I remember thinking, man, if we could just get past Sacramento, we have a very good chance of meeting the Celtics, and the Celtics are going to get smoked. Antoine Walker and Paul Pierce wouldn't have had a shot.
And
freaking New Jersey ruined it. And I remember after we won game 7, I was like, God, why couldn't we have had the Celtics? At least the finals would have been somewhat interesting. I go, this is going to be a sweep. Anyways, so the details of the Pau Gasol trade, this something for just to kind of give you guys an idea of how kind of one-sided that trade was in a lot of ways. I know Marc Gasol had a great career. They got something out of it. But the two other first-round picks Memphis got was, I believe in the one in 08 was for Dante Green out of Syracuse. If you're saying who, yeah. I think everyone else is too. The 2010
he's in jail now.
Yeah, well, there you go. That transaction netted two convicted felons, apparently. The pick in 2010.
Actually, you could also say three if you want to include Mitch Kupchak.
Yes.
Why?
Because of the robbery on Memphis.
What do you got to do? Oh, God. Anyways. the 2010 pick was Grievous Vasquez out of Maryland.
Grievous.
Is it Grievous or Grievous?
It is Grievous.
It's Grievous.
Why is there an I in his name then?
Because it's Espanol.
Oh, okay. Grievous.
General Grievous.
General Grievous. So Aaron McKee, Javaris Crittenton, Dante Green, and General Grievous, a.k.a. General or ABK Grievous Vasquez, and then Marc Gasol for Pau Gasol and what would be a draft pick in the second round for Devin Ebanks. Devin Ebanks' legacy in L.A. is wanting to go to a club instead of playing for the Lakers. And that quickly, not too long after that, ended up costing him his career as a Laker. He's still playing, by the way. He's playing in, I think he's playing in Israel or China. Actually, he might be playing in Saudi Arabia. So I'm sorry. I think he's in Saudi Arabia now. So that trade was history. It was redefining. It was reinvigorating. It was a three-year run of some of the best basketball we've ever watched as Laker fans. It netted us two titles. It allows us to watch the Lakers finish off the Celtics in their revenge series in 2010. And it just was a very satisfying run. It could have been perfect, but it still was a damn good run. And I'm looking really forward to seeing Pau in Staples for the last time as a participant here with his jersey going up the rafters on March 7th.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. Welcome to Lakers Fast Break University, Lakers History 101. We're discussing the 15th anniversary of the Pau Gasol trade. Professor Sean, I wanted to ask you this with about 20 minutes left in the class. please inform the students in regards to the impact of it overall with Powell and Kobe. How devastating was that as far as an inside outside combination that the NBA certainly had trouble with keeping up?
Yeah, you know, Gerald, there have been some really special pick and roll combinations in NBA history. Stockton and Malone were a fine oiled machine. LeBron and player Y, insert, can do damage. Any number of point guards today in the NBA that run it, but nothing I've ever seen in NBA history is as beautiful as a Pau Gasol, Kobe Bryant pick and roll. And I felt that through those two, when Caron Butler was traded, that hurt Kobe. It hurt him because he said that was my best friend, and they traded my best friend without even telling me. I felt that, you know, well, having the Mamba mentality, he's bored. He's bored because he really doesn't have anybody to play with. And he's trying desperately, like Joe said, that was a perfect word, desperately to work out any number of combinations with any number of players where, you know, they can gain some kind of traction. And when Pau came in, it was like hitting the ground running because they just kept it simple for those first couple games. Just high pick and roll. Pau 18 footer, good. Pau 16 footer, good. Kobe was able to become a screener as well. So not only was he able to initiate the pick and roll, he became the screener. And his idea was that as a screener, I'm the most dangerous player on the court because while the defense is primary focus is on the ball handler and then the roller, as a screener, I'm able to incorporate any number of variables where we get the best shot possible. So Pau opened up his basketball brain. It was like watching Free Willy go over back into the ocean. That's what it felt like when Pau and Kobe were on the court, because it was just poetry in motion. If Kobe and Pau weren't initiating a pick and roll, then Derek Fisher or Trevor Ariza were on either side of the wings ready for an open three. And we all know Fisher's story, Gerald. His jump shot was okay when he came into the NBA, but he really worked on it, and he became a significant contributor to Pau. You know, outside of that, Gerald, outside of the championships, when we had that injury history, we needed Pau. We leaned on him to be the facilitator. When Nash is out, Kobe's out, Pau's really the only pure facilitator on the court at that point, and we needed him more than ever. So he was a very unselfish player. You know, I'm guessing if he wanted to, he could have averaged a handful more points, handful more rebounds, but he was good being 18, 9, 4, 2.5. I shoot 50% from the field. I make sure my guys get their shots in their spots over me getting my shots in my spots because I'm skilled enough with either hand on either side of the court because he was ambidextrous. He could finish left going right. He could finish right going left. It was a deadly combination. It almost was like you had to have eyes in the back of your head when he was on the court. And the added dimension of him playing alongside Lamar Odom kept people up at night. Like when I remember that game when the Lakers went into Quicken Loans Arena against the Cavs in, it was 2009. And Mike Brown said he didn't sleep the night before because he was up all night trying to figure out what to do when Kobe, Pau Gasol, and Lamar Odom are on the floor. Now, turns out that Cleveland jumped out to a pretty big lead. Eventually, Lakers won. That was more to do with Lamar Odom than Pau Gasol, but the fact is, Gerald, Pau Gasol and Kobe Bryant attracted a lot of attention, and we need guys to eat outside of that. And, you know, we had them. We had them.
Last thing I want to go ahead and cover before we head on out on today's class. Joe, I wanted to go ahead and hit you up with this question. We can discuss it in real detail as we have a little under 15 minutes left. Thanks so much again for watching and listening here at the Lakers Fast Break University. Lakers History 101. It's the Pau Gasol trade as we remember him 15 years later being traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. Him and Kobe were much a part of Lakers history with three finals, three straight finals appearances, two culminating in a world championship in a back-to-back. And as I hear the things going on as far as in your class with the home ec class right next to us being taken care of on that, your thoughts on Kobe and Pau as a unit, as a duo, are they one of the greatest duos of all time in Lakers history? Because I know there's so many duos, of course, Magic and Kareem. You can talk about Shaq and Kobe. You can talk about Jerry West and Elgin Baylor. You can talk about Wilt and Jerry. You can talk about all these different duos that have been a part of this great Lakers history. Where does Pau and Kobe stand as a duo in your eyes?
They're going to stand third, although they're the best duo in terms of their chemistry.
I agree.
They never got the chance to run a decade together. Had they done that, they probably would have won four or five championships. Pau Gasol was essentially Tim Duncan without the defense. That's how I used to explain to people who Pau Gasol was. He was extremely fundamental, smart, team player, could take a ribbing without being hurt. Hurt in terms of his feelings. I believe if Kobe had had Pau Gasol, let's say hypothetically that there was a trade to Memphis in the Shaq trade and they got Pau Gasol.
So, he was here about 6.5 seasons.
Yeah. It was more, I don't know if it was more Pau Gasol, but Kobe kind of being run down after 2011. That loss in that loss to Dallas in the 2011 playoffs, not a lot of people know this. Kobe's knee was bone to bone. It was pretty bad. His knee was pretty bad. He wasn't the Kobe that we were. He had run out. He had run out of. He had extended himself at that point. Now he did go to Germany and do the platelet surgery and start kind of getting back a little bit of what he had, but he needed some reinforcements. He needed someone that could take on a lot of the perimeter and guard play, if you will. They did that. We saw what happened there. They got rid of Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom a year early, which is what you're supposed to do. And they could have gone another route that way. But the window was 07, 08 to essentially 2010, 2011. So you're talking about 8, 9, 10. You're only really talking four seasons where you had them at their probably at their best ability together. So you can't really call them anything other than three because they did still win two championships, which.
Well, you know something? That there's an old saying, you know, if you can't take me at my worst, don't accept me at my best. And he stuck through us thick and thin. And, you know, Mike D'Antoni benching him for Earl Clark still kind of rubs me raw, actually. I got to be honest. I think that could have been handled better. And Pau is he's a gentleman. I'm not sure if he's raised his voice to anybody in his life. And for Mike D'Antoni to mistreat him that way was just, to me, it was unprofessional.
Because he still, after that, he still had good years in 2013, 2014, and 2015.
Absolutely, yeah. He had a kind of a resurgence there his first year in Chicago. That was actually a pretty interesting team. They had a lot of spirit, just didn't work out for them. But yes, Gerald, he still was productive in the minutes he played in.
I ask this of Professor Soros, so I've got to go ahead and interject with you as well, Sean.
I'm picking Gasol and Kobe third behind Magic and Kareem and Shaq and Kobe.
Combinations of Baylor and West.
Baylor and West. I can't necessarily really make
Chamberlain
that.
Chamberlain or West.
I can't make that assessment because I didn't really watch them play, and the 72 Laker championship team had Gail Goodrich on it. And a lot of people said when Elgin Baylor retired, I think it was a month in, that he was a huge part of that team doing what they did that year.
So Sean, then your thoughts, where do you rank Kobe and Powell as a duo in the pantheon of Lakers duos?
Yeah, Gerald, I like Joe, I concur with Professor Soro. I have him third. Yep.
And why so?
This is a combo thing.
Hold on, Joe. I have the reverse because Magic's my guy. So I'm going to go with Kobe and Power 3, Kobe, Shaq 2, Magic and Kareem number 1, and Baylor and West number 4, and I'd put Chamberlain and West number 5.
Pretty good lineups right there. Absolutely impressive. But the legacy of Pau Gasol will live on. His number, as we've talked about on the show repeatedly, is going to be raised into the rafters. I know our chat room, the best Lakers chat room that's out here, right here at the Lakers Fast Break, they're already asking about a Lakers Fast Break meetup on the 7th of March when Pau Gasol gets his name and his jersey hoisted up to the rafters. Like I said before, hopefully in between Kobe's 8 and 24. What will that mean to you and what will that mean to him, both of you guys, in regards to him having his jersey retired before we head on out?
He's going to be very emotional that night. He's very stoic, but you know, you're even Joe is a man of flesh and blood.
And we might have to take him over to the biology class to find out. Hold on a second.
This right here is an insulin pump I require to live. Technically, Gerald, that makes me a cyborg. Soro is a man of flesh and blood, and like Pau, he has feelings, even though he says he doesn't. He does. Pau's going to be very emotional. I agree with Joe. I think it's only like kismet that Pau have his number beside Kobe. I think it's righteous, Gerald. I think it's righteous kismet that they should be aligned forever. And I think with any relationship, Gerald, as you know, you take the good, the bad, and the ugly all together, and it creates an authentic reality. And the authentic reality is that we acquired Pau Gasol, and both lives changed forever, Pau's and ours as fans. As a Laker fan, I've enjoyed 6 championships. He was a part of 2 of them. He went to 3 finals as a Laker. It cements him as the best power forward to play as a Laker.
Gary is looking for tickets right now for the 7th of March for that retirement ceremony. Professor Joe, before we head out, my friend, because we have less than 5 minutes left, share us your final thoughts on the Pau Gasol trade and Pau Gasol's legacy with the Lakers.
Pau Gasol, based off his international play and his career in the NBA, will be a Hall of Famer. The Lakers are ahead of this, which I think was a very good idea. Putting the 16 between 8 and 24 is not only aesthetically pleasing, it is exactly what happened. Pau is the middle of the 8 and the 24 of the Kobe careers. And what Pau Gasol has done post-Kobe 2020, he's become even a bigger inspiration, taking on more than just a big brother, but in a lot of ways a replacement in terms of being there for Vanessa, Bianca, Natalia, Capri, and I think that just continues to add to the admiration. It's very rare that kind of go gaga for strangers that I don't know, but I will admit that Pau Gasol is one of those people. From my standpoint, very few. There's very few of those people, if more than two or three. And he embodies everything that a good person has, and it's not even involving basketball. So he goes up in the rafters as a basketball great, as a Laker great, and it's also enhanced that he is a humanitarian in every way, in every angle, on top of everything. And that's just, it just makes you happy. It makes you happy to see good people like that around, and makes you feel positive about humanity. And I know he just had his first child in November, and I wish him well. I will be there to celebrate him, as I did the first time he stepped into Staples at the time. I find it hilarious that, Sean, you mentioned the movie Gladiator. That night, I yelled Spaniard a few times, and it felt really, really good. And I yelled it many times at home watching the game. So very fitting. Congratulations, Pau. Your trade was one of the, if not the most electric, shocking moments of my Laker life. I watched finals wins. I watched amazing playoff wins, amazing regular season wins. But I have to admit, I felt something I don't think I felt the day I found out you were coming to LA. I don't know why that just resonates with me, but it does. And I'm so happy you did come to LA, and God bless you and your family, and congrats on your jersey going up with all the Laker greats.
Thanks so much, class, for joining us today for Lakers History 101. If you have questions for us, always Lakers Fast Break on any social media outlet, including, of course, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Trovo, here on YouTube. And of course, also as well, you can go ahead and share us your thoughts, comments, and also suggestions on what we need to cover as far as a new lecture here at Lakers Fast Break University by going ahead and contacting us at LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. I want to thank so much for everybody for watching and listening to this latest class of Lakers History 101 covering the Pau Gasol trade 15 years later. I want to also thank everybody again for being part of what we do here. I want to go ahead and mention that we will be back tomorrow. Playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. We've got Nick Molina, Sean is going to be part of our coverage. Joe's going to be part of our coverage there. Looking forward to seeing and hearing everybody out there on playback.tv/LakersFastBreak for a 4:00 game Pacific time against the Indiana Pacers. Also, please note the next game after that on Saturday against the New Orleans Pelicans, that has been moved up to a 3:00 Pacific time starting game. Please note that that was changed today, so just want to let you know. But yes, tomorrow, 4 p.m. against the Indiana Pacers. Looking forward to it. And then, of course, the best Lakers post game is right here, and the best Lakers chat room is right here at the Lakers Fast Break. So for Professor Joe Soro and Professor Magic Man Sean Grice, this is Dean Gerald Glassford of the outstanding Lakers Fast Break University. We want to thank you for attending today's class. You all get an A for hearing our thoughts on Pau Gasol and what his impact was with the Lakers. But for now, class is dismissed.